And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What I want you to do is take out your hymnal that you probably just set down after the hymn, and I want you to turn with me to page 18, but at the very, very beginning of the hymnal where all the pages are in Roman numerals. So before all the hymns, before all the liturgies, the hymnal begins with Roman numerals. And just to remind you, page 18, that's going to be XVIII, right? And if you know the song 18 Wheels on the Big Rig, that song will help you. If you don't know that song, you should look it up on YouTube. It's a song that has some Roman numerals in it. So you're looking back at me like you've never heard of. Anybody here heard of that song? A couple of us, but most look it up. 18 Wheels on the Big Rig. We're on page 18. What does it say at the top of the page? Year C, right? The three-year lectionary, year C. I'm on page XVI. Let me go over to the right page. XVIII. There's probably a reason we don't use Roman numerals anymore, right? This is the whole church year. This is all the readings for the church year. There's the three readings for the whole church year. I want you to notice it begins, of course, with Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, all the seasons of the church year. You know, the church year is divided into two halves. And the first half, the whole church year has six seasons. The first half is five of the seasons, and the second half is just one of the seasons. So the first half is the ones you have probably a really good idea in your mind of what they are. Advent is that the Christ is coming, right? Christmas is the Christ has come. Epiphany is Jesus is the Christ, right? All those themes, those seasons have very specific themes. And the scripture lessons fit them. Christmas Day, Luke 2, right? It came to pass in those days, dot, dot, dot. So all those readings kind of make sense. Now, who remembers in the former days, all the seasons, all the weeks after Pentecost were called, second week after Pentecost, third week after Pentecost. The reason I'm pointing this out is with the new hymnal changes it, and for the couple of years I've been here, I've had people say to me, why are we at proper seven? So go over to the next page. You don't have to turn a page. You were on 18. Go over to page 19, and you'll see Pentecost, Pentecost Eve, Holy Trinity. What's the next Sunday? Proper three. Now the next Sunday is proper four, and after proper four comes proper five. I knew you guys would get it. Yeah, it's awesome, right? So now if you notice at the very, very bottom of the page, it always goes to proper 29. So this is what I wanted to notice about it. In the old days, and it still is true, Pentecost moves around, right? So Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost could be one date or a different date or a different date. This system, it always ends at proper 29. Always ends at proper 29. And you can count backwards to figure out where you started. You might notice last week was Trinity, so we didn't do proper 3, 4, 5, or 6. Today is proper 7. So next week will be proper 8. Now, as I said, all the readings in Advent fit Advent. All the readings in Christmas fit Christmas, right? The readings fit the season. Now, in proper, I want you to look at the gospel lesson. So that's the third column. Look at proper 7. That's where we are. Don't cite the verses, but just book and chapter. Where are we? Luke 8. And guess where we are the next week? Luke 9. And the next week, Luke 10. Now, the next week is Luke 10. And the next week is Luke 10. Important chapter. The next week is Luke 11. Do you see what it's doing? So the first half of the year, Advent, Advent, is Christmas readings, Epiphany, Revelation of who Jesus. These are going to work sequentially through the Gospels. And here, if you want to learn it quickly, here's what it is. It's about the life and ministry of Jesus. Right? Life and ministry of Jesus. The Old Testament lesson will be picked to parallel that. And the middle reading will be reading through different books of the Bible, usually kind of working through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So that's called Lectio Continua for those who want to know that. Now, why I wanted to ask, first of all, I always get asked propers. There they are. It's in the new hymnal. We're at proper 7. Next week will be proper 8. This week we're in Luke chapter 8. Next week we'll be in Luke chapter 9. That's the system that we use. I want us to notice something about it. Now, that's why we are where we are. The reason I wanted to, first of all, sort of get us, how does it work, but then also this. This week's gospel lesson is one of the strangest readings of the Bible, right? And people come to church thinking, well, I've had a busy week. I had a stressful week. I need to come into church and to be encouraged. I need to be lifted up, Pastor Walt. And what's the text? And Jesus met a man possessed by a demon. And you're like, what? Did I want to go there? I want us to get something about this. I want to say a couple things about the demonic, but then I want to get to talking about Jesus and this man. Because it is our text. It is the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus born at Christmas, who came to take away the sins of the world, who rose again. That's Easter. But in his life and ministry, he came up against the demonic. Now I want to say some things about that, just by way of introduction. In the modern world, people will say, well, there's no such thing as demons. That means mental, right? Mental disease. That's not what the Bible says, right? There's plenty of places in the Bible that says Jesus healed a man of a disease. Right? It doesn't always say demon. It usually says he healed this man of his blindness. He healed this man who couldn't walk. That's a physical ailment. When the Bible says demon, do you know what it means?
Demon.
The Bible says the demons are real. The Bible says the demons are angels created by God. In the book of Revelation, it says that one third of them fell with Satan. That means two thirds did not. We're not to fear them, but we're to know of them. C.S. Lewis says there's two ways to get it wrong. One way is to deny the existence of the demons, and the other way is to fixate on the demons, right? There's some Christians who want to read and study and immerse themselves in the occult, they're putting themselves in a bad place. Don't. Let's know that they're real. I want us to know something else very important. Very important. You have to know this. You, as a believer in Christ, cannot be possessed by a demon. You will occasionally read some commentators who say a demon can. Now, demons can possess a person, but they cannot possess a believer. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And what? If you open, I will come in. And I will sup with him and he with me. And I would say that if Jesus is in, the demons are out. Does that make sense? You belong to Christ. You cannot be possessed by a demon. Now, you can be opposed by the demonic. And that's why this text is here. Not possessed, but you can be opposed. Now, I want us to say a couple other things about it. And that you've heard many sermons on this text. There's much that could be said, and we don't have time to deal with all of it. I just want to deal with a couple, three quick things. Here they are. Where, who, and so what? That's what we're going to be talking about. Where, who, and so what? Where? I want us to notice it says they're in the Gerasenes. If you're in the book of Matthew, it says they're in the Gadarenes. That's not a conflict in the Bible. The critics love to say, oh, the Bible's wrong. No, there's two different towns in the area. There's Gadara, there's Gesara, and they're closer to Gadara, but Gesara is the largest town in the region, and so it said in the region, right, in the region, Gerasenes, or Gerasene, Gadara. Why do we want to know where they are? This is why. They're east of the Jordan River. East. Where's Israel? West of the Jordan River, right? West of the Jordan River. And this goes way back, Old Testament. God, having brought Israel up out of Egypt, says to them, I want you to cross this Jordan River and enter into the land that you prepare. And who remembers that a couple of the tribes said, we want to stay right here, right? That's where Gadara is. So I want us to get this. Why do we know that? Here's one. Are there times that we know what the will of God is and we want to go part way? So, Lord, I know your will, but I also know my life and I know my level of comfort, and I'm willing to go part way. That's where Gadara is. You see what it is? Now, it belonged to Israel. The tribe settled there. But some people read this text and say, this isn't faithful because some of the people there were raising pigs. It's not that they were being unfaithful. You know what it was? This had been Israel, but because these folks had only gone part way with the will of God, they'd actually lost it, and now it's mostly Gentile territory. I want us to hear this. When the church is tempted to compromise with the world, we will lose who we are. Did you hear that? If we're willing to compromise with the world, and to say, I'm perfectly fine where I am, we will lose ourselves. That's where they are. That's where. Okay. Now, who? Who? Don't know the man's name. Jesus encounters the man possessed by a demon. What have the people of the town tried to do? They've chained him. That is not compassionate. The man is demon-possessed. That means the man is he's a human being, but the demons control his actions. It is frenetic. It is out of control. And they've chained him, as is not atypical for people in that kind of a situation. He showed amazing strength and broke his chains. So where have they put him now? Out, right? Out of town. He lives in the graves. He lives in a cemetery. He lives in a cave, barely clothed, and a wild man. You know what everybody has said? They've decided, that's the crazy guy that lives in the cemetery. You know what they've done to him? They've written him off, right? That's who he is. Possessed by a demon, terrible spiritual turmoil, but he's been written off by all the people in his life. That's why this is in the Bible that Jesus goes. Have we ever been written off, right? By people that we thought loved us, by people we thought cared, and written off, left? I want us to get this. Not by Jesus, right? Not by Jesus. Jesus thinks it's important to go to Gadara and to meet this man, right? So that he can heal him. That's why the text is in the Bible. No. My so what section is this, and I want us to notice there's two things. Whenever I read texts about the miracles in the Bible, and I don't know if you think the same thing, but there's always a sort of a potential difficulty with them. This is a demon-possessed man. Jesus heals the man, restores him, and then so I can suddenly say, well, the text says Jesus has power to restore. And here's the challenge. Is it possible for a believer to have spiritual struggles? Not to be possessed, but to have spiritual struggles? Yes. And here's the challenge. If we've had a spiritual struggle and we've come through it, we rejoice. But when I read a miracle text and I'm still in the midst of it, you see the challenge? When I'm in the midst of the battle, I think, why doesn't this Jesus come and work his power in my situation, right? So I think there's two possibilities. One is you've had a terrible spiritual battle and we've already come through it. That's this man. And if that's you, I want you to hear what Jesus said. The man says, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no. I love this verse. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. If you're in a trial and if you're through the trial, return home and tell others how much God has done for you. It's a wonderful verse. But if you're in the trial, I want us to hear this verse. It's at the beginning of the text. Verse 27. Jesus stepped ashore. He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had faced this. You hear the words? For a long time. So, when you're in the middle of it, how long does it feel? It feels like forever. I just want us to hear those words. For a long time. Does Jesus restore? Yes. Can he restore? Yes. There are times we wait. But I want us to get this. We do serve the Jesus who commands and the demons obey. He commands and the winds and the waves obey. He does act. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.